All right, this is David Tessar again, continuing on with the System Center 2012 Service Manager course on planning, deploying, and monitoring. And for this module, we have two modules coming up here, and I'm joined by Patrick. Patrick, could you tell folks about what you do in your company?
Sure. So my name is Patrick Sundqvist. I'm the CTO and founder of GridPro, a company based in Sweden. We do turnkey extensions for System Center and mainly Service Manager. And I'm here today since I love to do customizations for Service Manager.
Yeah, thanks for coming and helping out.
Sure.
Well, let's dig in. Tell us about automated request offerings.
Cool. So I'm here today to talk about the portal in Service Manager 2012 and how we can do automated request fulfillment. So first off, let's see what Service Manager can bring to that. I would like to talk about three different areas, and that's the self-service area, the standardization area, and automation. And if we start with standardization, we have, for instance, the templates inside Service Manager. You can create new templates with default values. You could use those to be consistent. It can speed up your work in the console. So we standardize the processes because we always get the correct data when we use those templates, and the reporting quality will be much better. We also have the service catalog, where we're able to offer standardized services which might be pre-approved. It's always consistent. They are offered in the same way. They are executed in the same way by the workflow engine. So the workflows inside Service Manager makes sure that since we rule out the human factor, we actually get things done the same way each time, and we're consistent in executing this.
Makes sense.
So the next area, self-service, where we have things like end users being able to create a new incident inside Service Manager by just sending an email. They can use the portal to make new requests for services. They can report an incident through the portal as well. And now when we have OLAP cubes in the data warehouse that comes with Service Manager, they can actually do slice and dice of data right in Excel. So if you're a decision maker, you're actually able to get that data out from the CMDB, and you're able to do slicing and dicing and take decision upon that. So that's the new reporting self-service part. And all this self-service, of course, saves us a lot of time and money, and brings pleasure to our end users because they get the effect quicker.
Yeah, we went over through that, the architecture and the architecture side, all the different components at the start. So yeah,
cool.
Okay.
So here's the big money saver, right?
Yeah.
And time saver. So when we come to automation, I like to talk about the two different workflow engines that are available when you're working with Service Manager. First one being the internal workflow engine that comes when you're installing Service Manager. And that one is driving the processes inside of Service Manager. So when you're automating things that is related to the data inside of the CMDB, you'll be using that workflow engine. And that could be things like when you make a new request, you want to go find an appropriate reviewer for that request, and you apply that to the work item. You use the internal workflow engine for that. Now, when it comes to doing request fulfillment, we often need to go outside of Service Manager. So we want to interact with other endpoints in our infrastructure, like AD, Config Manager, VMM, etc. Then we use System Center Orchestrator and a connector between Service Manager and Orchestrator to do that. I'm going to show you that later on. But that's where the big value comes, right? So we can have a request go into Service Manager, and then we can kick off Orchestrator to execute things and deliver the service faster. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's take a look at how Service Manager would make the life easier of delivering services by doing automated request fulfillments. So we talk about six different steps here. First of all, we want to import our runbooks from Orchestrator. So these are these small building blocks that we could use to automate parts of the processes or a complete process. When we get those small modules inside of Service Manager, we can encapsulate those as activities, and we can use those to build a larger process, right? So we can have things like a review step where we have a manager going and approving a cost, for instance, and then we can put in one of these automation steps from Orchestrator, kick that off, etc. So when we have defined a process by building a new request offering, we publish that to the self-service portal. An end user goes in and makes a request. This ends up as a service request inside of Service Manager. That can invoke a runbook in Orchestrator. Service Manager, using the connector between Service Manager and Orchestrator, can monitor that and get feedback from Orchestrator, so we can actually get data back from Orchestrator into Service Manager.
So to kind of recap on the last two slides, if you're going to do any kind of real automation, you're probably going to need to have the Orchestrator connector pulling in the runbooks to do some advanced tasks. It sounds like a small niche case where you might do automation within the CMDB itself, but otherwise, your Orchestrator is your way to go, right?
Correct. Yeah. So Service Manager and Orchestrator is a really powerful combination, and the integration is so smooth now. That really brings big value. Okay, so that was the high level view of that. If we look at it from a more of a technical perspective and how that works, we'll see that the Service Manager connector goes out to Orchestrator and brings in these runbooks, which takes care of the optimization part. So we actually get representation of the runbooks inside of the Service Manager CMDB. Now then we go and take those objects and we encapsulate those into runbook activities. So an activity inside Service Manager is used to define the process of request fulfillment. So that means we can actually take those activities and create a template for service requests that could be combined with things like a review activity, so we can get an approval for a cost or some kind of security approval, etc. And then have those runbook activities perform the actual automation for us. When we have that template for a service request, we can create our request offering. So request offerings is the way to define something that should be requestable on the self-service portal. So when we have created the request offering, we publish that on the portal. An end user goes and makes a request. That ends up as a service request, which is based on that template that we just created. So the template contains these activities, and when the service request gets created based on that template, the internal workflows of Service Manager takes a look at that definition of activities. It fires up the first activity, so that goes into in progress state. And as soon as a runbook activity gets in progress, that actually invokes the runbook over at System Center Orchestrator. When that has been invoked, the connector keeps track of what's happening over at Orchestrator and can actually bring back data from Orchestrator. So you can have things like, as we're going to do later on, we're going to do an automated request fulfillment of when a manager wants to request a new AD account for an employee. We could actually bring back, for instance, the generated username from Orchestrator back to Service Manager, so we could actually give that piece of information back to the manager or to an analyst working in the console, right? Mm-hmm. So looking at how we could use this in an example scenario, we could have runbooks in Orchestrator, which is used to automate provisioning of a new VM, right? Mm-hmm. So what we could do is we could import those runbooks. We could build a new offering that says a new VM. Mm-hmm. We could publish that on the self-service portal. and have people going into the self-service portal requesting new VMs, or maybe making changes to VMs, like increasing some kind of memory allocation or whatever. So this way, we could actually take use of those runbooks, publish that through Service Manager, have requests going through Service Manager where we track things and keep auditing history, etc. Having Orchestrator performing the task of provisioning new VMs. So that's a very good and popular scenario, which we see a lot of usage of outside of the customers. So looking at these different parts now, let's start with the optimization part and Orchestrator. So if we take a look at Orchestrator and what makes up a runbook, right? We have these small activities which are very specific that perform small tasks. It could be run a script, send an email, query a web service or whatever. You take these small objects or building blocks and you put these together in a sequence and you get a runbook. And the runbook automates the scenarios, which could be provisioning the new VM. It could be creating a new AD account and putting that into default groups, etc., whatever. Now, a very nice thing in Orchestrator is that you have something called the data bus. This enables these small activities to actually share information in between each other. So going back to what I just gave an example of, the scenario where Orchestrator actually would send data back to Service Manager, we talked about generating a username. So we could actually have an activity early on in a runbook that were responsible for generating some piece of information, and that information could actually be used by following activities. This makes Orchestrator a very powerful tool. So how do you actually build these runbooks then? Well, you do that in a very user-friendly way, because you have these small activities, you actually drag and drop those, you draw arrows between them, and you're able to do things like filter data going between the activities, etc. So it's very nice to do that. And also, you have these out-of-the-box integration packs, as we call them, which contains these activities. This is actually something that is provided in small packages from Microsoft. So there's actually additional integration packs that you can download even after you've installed the product, or third-party integration packs.
And when you say integration packs, does that include the runbooks, or is that the runbooks, right? Or is it something totally different?
So that contains the activities, like the
activities.
Small pieces.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. Okay, that makes sense, yeah.
But then you could actually do things like you export your runbooks and you share those as well.
Okay, and this all really ties into Orchestrator, that product, right? So we're kind of now, it's so much related to Service Manager that we kind of had a little detour there, and it's so integrated. But yeah, I mean, obviously we're not going to dive deep into Orchestrator itself. I mean, we could have probably a whole course on that.
Very true.
But it's good to, it's good to just point out some of the basics, because I'm guessing, you know, you'll probably be working with a lot of those objects and things as part of your automation.
Yeah, that is correct.
Okay.
Okay, so we also talked about templates, right? And templates is the thing where you define default values. So you could have a template for a request for a standard employee account. That would be a service request template. You could have a template for password reset incidents. That would be an incident template. These templates contains the standard values. It saves you time. It keeps the processes consistent. And as I said before, having those templates and using those increases the data quality inside of Service Manager. So when you go back and do reporting later on, it's more reliable, right?
Right, and no sense in reinventing the wheel, right? So when you have an existing template, you can just download it, save yourself a bunch of time and get a high-quality template there. Is there a place where people can download a bunch of the templates from?
So templates, you see actually the community sharing templates sometimes. Yeah. The templates are also part of some processes packs that are provided by Microsoft, which we will get back to later. So these are small parts that are like a part of a bigger concept which you share with each other. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the next piece of the puzzle is the request offerings. That is what you use to define how an offering should be presented on the self-service portal. What you need, what piece of information do you need to get from the person consuming this to be able to deliver the service, right? So, for instance, in the VM scenario, it could be a name of a VM, size, and mm-hmm. how much memory you would need right. to have, right? And other things like maybe a responsible person that isn't you if you're away.
Whatever it is that's needed, right? I mean, right. The way that I understand it, hey, template, it's kind of, here's something that is made available that we can offer up. And then the request offering is the, hey, here it is. Tell me the details so that I can make it happen, right?
Correct. Yep. Correct.
Okay.
So when you're creating these request offerings, you do that inside of the service manager mm-hmm. Console. Mm-hmm. Now, as I'm going to show you later on, you're actually able to define which type of input you would like. So that could be like text, or it could be a selection from a list, mm-hmm. or it could actually be selecting objects that are living inside of the CMDB. So you have all these kind of options.
Yep.
And you're also able to define constraints that if you're asking for a number, that number can't be above 10, for instance. Mm-hmm. So you have these possibilities. So this is a very simple way to actually create a new form on the self-service portal. So when you have that, you could actually group those offerings inside of a service offering. So that's basically a container that could define service level information about those offerings. It could define things like costs and chargeback information. It's a way of grouping offerings, basically. This is also something that you could use when you then later on move on and define what should a user have access to. So you could limit that per service offering or per specific request offerings. Mm-hmm. So you are able to actually provide different services to different groups of users inside of your organization.
Yeah, it makes sense. And then, you know, just based on that, that group of the offerings that you have there, assign different roles to that so people have access. Yeah.
Correct. Correct. Okay, so just to summarize this, I want to talk about the Cloud Services Process Management Pack. That is something that you can add upon the out-of-the-box installation of mm-hmm. Service Manager. So this is also provided by Microsoft, and this actually summarizes all these things, because when you import this, you actually get, first of all, model extensions, which defines new objects inside of the CMDB. So you're able to describe things like a VM or a resource pool or whatever. You get these templates that we talked about. Mm-hmm. So these are a part of this process management pack. And you actually get pre-created service offerings that you can publish on your self-service portal.
So it seems like this would be just a great thing to after you get the base install going, just install the Cloud Services Management Pack.
Correct.
Save you a bunch of time on the upfront.
Correct.
This is getting things going.
This is a great way to bring fast value to your implementation, right?
Yeah.
So go ahead and try that. Now, if we're gonna take a look at how you would do this, let's
go to a demo. Yeah, let's
go
see
to
action.
Demo. So let's take a look at how to provide a service where you could actually request a new user account. This is a simple scenario just to show you the way from A to Z, where you actually have your runbooks in Orchestrator, you import those to Service Manager, and create those templates, request offerings, and put out the service. You could use that. Mm-hmm. So let's start by having a look inside of System Center Orchestrator. I was just planning to show you that you have these runbooks on the left-hand side listed here. You have these small activities, which makes up this simple process where you actually retrieve data. You retrieve data from Service Manager, which will send in two parameters, first name and last name of a person. Very simple. It will then take that piece of information, generate a username, and go ahead and create a user based on the first name, last name, and the generated username, basically. Mm-hmm. Okay, so looking inside of Service Manager, how do we consume that runbook?
How do we connect the two? Yes.
Correct. So then you have a connector,
which then pulled in the runbook, and we covered those. We covered this process earlier, so people are familiar with how that gets pulled in, but we didn't really do anything with it. So where does that go now? Now that you've got the connector set up, what happens, right?
Correct. So this connector runs on a schedule. It brings in these objects that represent the runbooks.
Yep.
So let's take a look at the runbook represented inside of Service Manager. So you basically have your general tab showing you what kind of input parameters does this runbook require to be able to run. That was the first name and last name. Mm-hmm. Then you take that object and you can encapsulate that into a runbook activity. So you actually have a task on the right hand side here that says create runbook automation activity. So I've gone ahead and done that, and I ended up with my create AD user automation activity.
Okay. It looks like it's a pretty basic, once you create it, it's pretty simple. Just creates a simple list there, right?
Great. Correct. So I just gave that a title. You're able to put in a nice description and give this activity template all kinds of data to be able to slice and dice in your reports later on. Mm-hmm. But I just gave it a title and made sure that these properties are correct. So I have my first name, last name also represented here in the template. Now, as soon as I have this template, I'm able to move ahead and actually create the service request template. So I've done that as well. So if we look at that template, we have a title again. We have I've actually defined an urgency and priority for this. Mm-hmm. And then the important part. So I've actually gone ahead and added a review activity because I want to have a approval of creating this account before it actually gets created. So that could be a manager approving this. So if it's a manager approval, you could actually just click this checkbox inside the template. That will actually go back and retrieve data from your AD. So if you have your manager stated there, so if you go ahead and make this request from the portal, Service Manager will actually find out who your manager is and add that person as a reviewer into this process.
Yeah, so which would be probably really applicable for requesting resources like a private. You want your own private cloud or some other type of hardware or
correct
configuration
that drives the cost, right?
That drives a cost, right?
Okay, so we have that review activity. And then I've added the runbook activity.
Okay, and how, this is a pretty cool graph here. Mm-hmm. How do you attach that to the runbook? Is that what, it's in this ad here? So, how did you get those to show up,
correct,
right, to attach to that?
Correct, good question. So since we added that, or we encapsulated that runbook object into
a template.
An activity template, we can add activities to this, the process of fulfilling this request, right?
Okay.
So when you click add, you actually see a list of all the available activity templates. So there we have the create AD user automation activity that I just
that
created.
That you just created, yep.
So that's the way I add that activity into this process. I could actually do things like having parallel activities as well. So I could actually have parallel runbooks running, if that is something that fits this process.
So you could have multiple templates here running at the same time.
Correct.
Right, which kicks off multiple different runbooks.
Correct.
Okay.
And then you could go ahead and add another review activity in the end if there's something that you want to make sure that you have fulfilled during the process.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a very simple service request template as well. That actually makes it possible to move ahead and create a request offering. So let's take a look at that. So here in library, service catalog, request offerings, we can see all the offerings that we have. There's a lot of out-of-the-box stuff, which you can go ahead and publish.
You're good at Chinese, right? You know what all those are?
No, not really.
Not so much, no. Okay.
I stick to
Somebody
Swedish
does,
and English.
Though, right?
Yeah, correct. But there's some examples in there.
Yep.
Which you could go ahead and publish the correct one matching your language.
And those are from the cloud services pack with the ones with all those
This
languages?
Is actually out of the box.
Out of the box.
So without
okay.
the cloud processes management pack. So if we go ahead and take a look at the pre-created standard employee offering, this offering actually makes use of the previously created templates. So an offering has a title. You can add a nice image to it, a short description, and then you choose your template. And this template is either an incident template, so you're able to report a certain type of incident, or it's a service request template. In this case, our new standard employee account template that contains the review activity and the automation activity, right? Mm-hmm. Then you come to user prompts. So user prompts is the way to retrieve information from the person consuming the service. So in our case, we want to retrieve a first name and a last name of the person that should have a new user account. So this is a very simple example. So I've actually just chosen text as a prompt type, but that could actually be...
Yeah, numbers or...
Correct. So you could have a date time, which would actually render a date time picker in the portal. Mm-hmm. You could say that this is a decimal value, so it will be nicely represented on the portal. You could have a checkbox for true-false values or list. Or you could actually go ahead and use the query result type, where you're able to define a criteria so that you could list objects from the CMDB on the self-service portal. So that the person requesting this service would actually pick objects from the CMDB. So a simple example there. Mm-hmm. If you had a service, for instance, giving the possibility to request membership in a group, you could actually list those groups on the self-service portal, have the user pick the group that they want to be a member of. Then you would just have a review activity with a group owner or something like that. You could have your orchestrator workflow retrieve that group name, have the username, and add the user to the group.
Yeah.
Just a simple example. If you use the...
Or it could even be like you had a number of, let's say, virtualization, you know, cloud type, private cloud offerings or some type of resources that were changing regularly. With the title and say which type of, you know, resource are you wanting to select? Yep.
Correct.
Makes
so
sense.
If you import the cloud and services process management pack, you would be able to do things like pick a cloud where you want to store that VM in, right?
Yep.
Moving on, you could actually pick a virtual machine which you want to add more memory to. Mm-hmm. So this would be a perfect use for this query result prompt type. When you've chosen the type, we'd used text, you enter the question part.
Right, yeah. So in this case, it just that's the text that's on the form that they fill out right next to it. Makes sense.
Correct.
Yep.
So then you move on and you can configure these. So you could say that this first name question should be limited, the answer of that question should be limited to maybe 10 chars or something like that. Or you could say that this should fulfill a regular expression, which is something that we could use to actually make sure that the input format is correct, right?
Yep, so the standard regex that's out there, yep.
Correct.
That's a lot of power in that.
So when you've configured that, you need to map those answers to your service request template. So where should that piece of information go in? Mm-hmm. So in our case, we want to map those answers to properties on the runbook activity. So we have the property on the runbook activity, which is mapped to the first name argument on the runbook. In that case, we want to have the answer of the first name question going in there. So this is the way you map that piece of information. You could have something like, why do you want to have this service? And you can have that go into the description field of a service request, for instance. Mm-hmm. A simple way of mapping that piece of information into the process.
And if you had multiple runbooks, it looks like you could select multiple runbooks inside of this form and then associate them with different forms here, yeah?
Correct. You could map answers from the form into different runbook activities.
Okay.
That's absolutely correct. Then you could actually associate this request offering with knowledge articles. So when you go ahead and want to request this service from the self-service portal, you would actually see those knowledge articles there, if they are related. An example could be if it's a template for reporting certain types of incidents, you might want to have knowledge articles out there facing the end user so they are able to help themselves.
Yeah.
And then you choose if you want to publish this offering immediately or if you want to just keep it in draft, if you want to work on it further. You can define an owner.
This could be good when you're, hey, you know, at a certain day we're going to launch our service offering for whatever this happens to be to our customers, right?
Correct.
And then schedule it out there, right?
Or you might want to use the change process to actually go ahead and review this.
Yeah, to review it beforehand, yeah.
Yeah, correct. So we have that up there. So what we could do then is to actually associate the request offering with the service offering. So I just created a simple service offering. Again, you could have your title and image shows up nicely in the portal, which I think you saw Sean had as well.
Yeah.
You pick a category, so you could actually group service offerings into a category as well. Makes it a bit easier to find what you're looking for on the portal. You have your short descriptions and a bit longer one. You have things like SLA information, chargeback information. You could actually have links here, so the end user could actually click a link to pick up more information about these type of services. Okay,
so you have the request offering, which has kind of the details and mapping that into, let's say, for instance, the runbooks.
Mm-hmm.
Once we get into a service offering, do you always need to have a service offering or not? Or do you often see some people just going with request offerings and throwing those out there?
Well, usually I see them grouping this into service offerings, but you actually don't need to.
Okay.
As you will see in the self-service portal, you're able to display these offerings in two different ways, either using the service offerings to group these or just to list them in a simple way. And then you would just see the request offerings.
Okay.
So you could actually go ahead and do the same here. You could add knowledge articles, services, or you just go ahead and add your offerings into this service offerings. So request offerings go into service offerings. Again, you have your publish or draft state.
So in this example is probably not the best case of where you might want to use a service offering because you're just doing a single activity, right? But if you had a grouping of a various number of activities that relate to user provisioning, perhaps,
correct,
then you might have a service offering of user or group provisioning that has SLAs and other things tied to it just that one in that one place, right?
Correct. So you could have things like directory offerings, or you could have cloud offerings, or you have... Yeah, any types of offering. Just group those in similar blocks. Okay, so I've gone ahead and published this service offering.
How did you publish it? Just hit the publish button and then that's it?
Either hit that button or
have it scheduled, right? Yep.
Correct.
Okay.
You could create a change request for publishing so you get that reviewed before going into the publish date, right?
Okay.
Which you should do.
It's probably a good idea before you're having something get out there that's resources, yeah.
Correct.
All right, and then after it publishes, then it goes what, to the portal? Is there a default place it pops up?
So, that's the next thing then. When it's published, you will be able to find that in the self-service portal. So we have immediately our request offer or our service offering showing up in the portal. So when I get to the portal, I get this category view first. Each service offering category contains our request offerings, or I could do a simple list view, which actually shows us all the request offerings that are published, whether they are in a service offering or not. Mm-hmm. I'm able to filter those using this filter view.
And this is the default view, the website. It's the kind of the base template as we see it.
Correct. So okay. You could actually go ahead and customize this portal to get your branding, your company branding on it. Okay, so let's take this for a ride then. Let's click that service offering. We get down to a view where we can see that information that we added to the service offering. We can see all the related request offerings, which is, for this example, just one, our new account for standard employees. If I had related KB articles to the service offerings, those should be visible on the right-hand side. So to dig deeper, I'll click the new account, standard employee request offering, and I'm able to see related KB articles to this specific request offering. Also related service offerings. Now, if I'm ready to go ahead and make a request, I click the Go to Request form. Now, you remember the questions that we defined in our request offering form. So that was the first name of employee. It was also the last name of employee. Those were of type text and was required. So since they were required, these shows up in red. So we have like validation of the data going in here, which makes it reliable when you're doing automation. Mm-hmm. You would probably also go ahead and do some kind of regex that we discussed, since you want to be sure that the piece of information going into Orchestrator fulfills what you expect. So yep. That the automation process can rely on that. You don't end up with any strange chars.
Quality of data is really important, yep.
Correct. So let's go ahead and give this a first name, Tim, and last name, Alan.
Tim Allen, big Tim Allen fan, are you? Yeah.
So we have that piece of information. We could have drop-down lists, we could have date time pickers, we could have these lists of objects from the CMDB presented here very nicely just by using that request offering form and creating our new service offering and request offering.
Seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Cool, so let's go ahead and review that data. That looks fine, and let's submit that to the CMDB. So now a service request gets created. I immediately get the ID of that request back to me. And as the requesting user, I'm actually able to click that and end up in a My Requests place in the self-service portal. So in here, I'm actually able to see all the requests that I've made or incidents that I've reported. Mm-hmm. So I can click this new one and see the current state of that work item, which activities are in the process of fulfilling my request, and their status.
Yep. So, and I know that we'll cover service requests, or we will have covered service requests in another module in more depth. So I'm kind of curious, what is, can we show that now that you've fired that off, can we show on the back end with Service Manager how that's taken place?
Absolutely.
So we can confirm, you know, that has happened, right?
So let's go back to the console, and let's go to the work items workspace. Let's hit the service request fulfillment part, and let's look at all the open service requests, right?
Okay.
So since we had that template that was a service request template going into the request offering, that template was used when we just requested that service to create a new service request. So if we look at that, we can see that I am the affected user since I made the request from the portal. We see the title coming from the template our urgency and priority values here. If we look at the activities, we can see that the review activity is the activity currently in progress since it's the first activity. Mm-hmm. So our next activity, which is actually the runbook activity, is waiting for the approval. So if I go ahead and approve this review activity, being the administrator, I'm allowed to do that. That's fine. For demo purposes.
Oh. You approve it, and then you should be good to go, yeah?
So when I've approved that, the request or the service request moves on. The next activity will fire off our runbook. So these are requests that I previously made.
All right. Well, that was a lot of info. Really cool how to see how all of the things can come together with System Center Service Manager. So thanks for that.
Absolutely. My pleasure.